mom get up there. I let a little distance get between us. So that way, at least, I was kind of, you know, I have my own circumference area. This is my space, right? But if mom looked back, you know, you'd scoot up a little bit quicker because you don't want to hear mom say, "What are you doing? Get up here." But then after five steps, you know, space, all of a sudden, 10. Then before you know it, three clothes racks. And you're feeling pretty good and you're feeling pretty confident until all of a sudden you realize, where'd my mom go? And I'm lost. You know, I always joke about my parents leaving me at stores, and they did plenty, plenty, plenty of times. But I didn't help matters when I kept trying to leave distance and trying to lose them, right? All of a sudden, I was lost. You know, that's the same way it works out when we become frustrated. We don't spend enough time with God. Our devotional life, if we let that suffer, if we're not reading the Word of God, if we're not doing something to feed ourselves spiritually, then all of a sudden we let a little distance come. And we become comfortable with the distance. After all, it's just four or five steps away from God. But because that becomes comfortable, we take four or five more. And before you know it, it's three clothes racks. And then after that, you feel lost. How did I end up here? Peter's saying, don't let that happen. As soon as we feel a distance from Jesus, don't let it become the norm. When you start sensing the distance, be like Peter, dive in, and draw near to God. Psalms chapter 73, verse 28 says, but it is good for me to what? Yeah, right up there, draw near to God. To draw near to God. Peter dove in, and we must do the same. Imagine a bunch of embers in a fire. They're all very hot. If you take one of the embers out and you set it to the side, that red hot ember now all of a sudden is no longer red, and eventually it's no longer hot. But if you take that same ember and put it back into that same fire, it becomes hot once again. It becomes red hot once again because of the environment that it's in. Why am I sharing this? Because you may feel like you've let some distance come between you and God. You may feel like there's so many degrees of separation that it's a lost hope, it's no good. But don't think that way. That's the enemy getting you to think that way. You get back into that environment, and the Spirit of God will bring life right back into that. And there'll be this red hotness of vision and dreams and hopes that God wants to reveal to you. You see, the devil is a strategic terrorist. He's like a sniper for our souls. And Jesus defeated the devil on the cross, but the devil wants to get back at Father God. And what better way than to take out his children? What better way? He'll come after you, and he will come after me. He doesn't care about us at all. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy so he can get back at the Father God for what he's done. See, we can understand that when we have kids and somebody messes with our kids, we want to knock them out. You know, I'm not saying that's the right answer. I'm just saying that's what we think. We become defensive. We want to be protective. And our Father God loves us so much. And the devil hates us so much. And so the enemy will come in and try to get us to think that there's not, you know, drawing near to Jesus, that isn't going to do anything. Now, the way he'll do it is he'll do it by trying to destroy your marriages little by little. Destroying your families, piece by piece, your futures, your faith. So when you're frustrated, the devil tries to use that opportunity to bring division. He wants to bring division, and we must use that time to draw near to Christ. Let me just say this. If you're here today and you're going through a situation in your family, in your life, I don't even know what that means. Here's what you need to do. Spend more time with God. Now, oh, Pastor, I don't want to read the Bible. I didn't say read the Bible, but that can be a part of it. It can be in your devotional life. It can be whether you're listening to something on a podcast in the car. It can be reading a book that helps with that. But here's the best way is to just be alone and be quiet with God. How many of you know that when you're driving to work, Jesus is happy to hop in the passenger seat? He'll let you drive the car, but why don't you let him drive your life? Why don't you let him lead you? Why don't you just start thinking, God, what do you have to say about this? Lord, you know what my wife said. You know what my husband said. You know what my kids, they're going through. You know what's going on in our home, and you know how jacked up it is, and I can't do anything about it. And then you just be quiet. And just think about him. Let him be there. That's one of the ways you can draw near to God. You know, God can say more sometimes through silence than he ever can through words. Doesn't mean he won't use them. But sometimes we just have to position ourselves. You know, when I think of Peter coming to Jesus, diving, coming before Jesus, if I were Jesus, which I am not, we're clarifying and just making sure you all heard that. I didn't have to really explain that because you all know it, right? But if somebody betrayed me, if somebody denied me, somebody stabbed me in the back, and they jump out the boat and they come up to me, I wouldn't be thinking to respond the way Jesus did. When Jesus saw him, he said, Peter, this was his first words, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Of course you know I love you." But you see, mine would have been, "You turkey, where were you when I needed you the most? How could you stab me in the back like it? You tell me you got my back and then you run like the, you know, scared little cat. You know, you didn't do anything to help me." That's how we would respond in our flesh. But that's not what Jesus did. And that's not what Jesus will do with you. When we come before him and we draw near him, he asked him, the very first things he said was this. He said, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He asked him a second time, "Do you love me?" "Yes, you know I love you." He asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" "Yes, you know I love you. Why do you keep asking these things?" Because, number two, write this down. This is what we need to do when we're frustrated. We need to confess your love for Jesus. Jesus did not need necessarily to hear that Peter loved Jesus. Peter needed to hear that Peter loved Jesus because he probably was dealing with guilt. He probably was dealing with some shame. He probably was struggling. But you see, there's such a power in the spoken word. When we speak words, if I were to audit right now, and I'm not going to because there's real no way I can, but if I were to audit what you have said, or even not even verbally said, but thought in your mind in the last week, what percentage of that would be positive that you thought of yourself versus the negative? Let's go a month out. You know, we were so notorious for saying, "I can't do that, I'll never succeed, this will never work, you know, I'm horrible at this." We're good at doing that, but we're not really good at being confident and building ourselves up. And the way we do that is by drawing near to Jesus and then confessing our love. There's power in the spoken word. There's power, ladies, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? "I see a daughter of the Most High God." That is a big deal right there. That's what you need to start seeing. Men, we look in the mirror, we see Superman all the time, don't we? You know, we don't have a problem when we look in the mirror. But when you look in the mirror, do you see a son of the Most High God? Because that's what he sees when he looks at you. And that's what makes all the difference in the world. We start with confessing our love, and it's our love for God. There's such power in the spoken word. That's why worship is so critical. It's critical. Now, I might not be the best singer, but you don't need a great voice to worship. Did you know that? I don't know how to play a guitar or a piano or whatever else is up here. I don't know how to play any of this stuff. I can play the first part of Star Wars for you right now. And I think Chopsticks. That's it. But I can still worship. Because there's power when you sing this, when you speak the words. And it's not about being cocky or arrogant. It's about speaking truth and building yourself up in the name of Jesus. So there's times when I sing worship songs and I'm going through a difficult time, whatever it is. I'll come in here in the sanctuary and I'll turn the volume pretty much up to 10 because the louder the volume gets, the better I sound. I found that out. And it's probably because it drowns my voice out, but I'll come in and I'll sing some favorites of mine. I don't sing, "What's Michael's List?" I got to sing that one. "What's the top 10 on the Christian billboards?" That's not where I go. Where do I go? What speaks to me? What is the Lord speaking to me right now? See, you're only going to find that out when you draw near to God. Here's a couple that have been close to my heart. Nothing Else, remember that song, Nothing Else by Cody Carnes? You might not remember it, but if Michael were to sing it right now, you would recognize it. "Oh, Come to the Altar," you know. Here's one of my favorites, old school. It's not about the song, by the way. It's about your heart. There's times when I come and sing a song, and I think it was Jack Hayford that wrote it, "Majesty." Do you remember that one? "Majesty, worship his majesty." There's just such a power and an authority there, and it recalibrates me as I draw near to God, and then I confess my love for him. Well, Pastor, are you telling me I got to walk around my house singing? No, you don't have to do that, but you can if you want. I do it sometimes when nobody else is in the house. So if you ever drive by my house, and I'm doing circles, and it looks like my mouth's running, I'm probably just singing or worshiping. And here's the thing. I don't usually do that when I'm feeling great in life. I almost always do it when I'm not feeling so great. Probably should do it more when I'm feeling great. I'm just being transparent with you. But sometimes we say, well, when life's difficult, life's tough, I don't feel like worshiping. Neither do I. That's why I do it. Because it's powerful. I'm confessing my love for Jesus. Here's one that I would sing. This is an old school song, too. "In moments like these, we sing out a song." Do you remember that one? "We sing out a love song to Jesus." And I sing that one. That's my go-to song when you know what hits the fan. because when life is difficult and I don't know what to do and it's painful, there's times when I've not even been able to sing the song, excuse me, because I'm emotional or something's going on. I'm broken. I'm hurting. I've gotten a bad report. I've gotten bad news. I'll get in that. That's the perfect time to get into the presence of God and confess my love for Him. In moments like these, I choose to sing out a song. Now, you can do this so many number of ways, but here's the point I want to get across. The way that you do it is not as important as whether you're doing it. Find your way. Maybe it's the quietness of your car. Maybe it's through a podcast. Maybe it's through your devotional. Maybe it's through singing worship songs. It can be a combination of any of them. But the key is this, that you have first drawn near to God, and now you're confessing your love for God. You're saying, Father, I don't get it. I don't understand it, but you do. I'm trusting you. My faith is in you. I know that I'm going to be victorious in this. I know that it looks impossible, but with you, all things are possible. Greater is He that's within me than anything else in this world. And you start, I'm not talking about hyping yourself up in a charismatic way until you feel good. If you get a little bit feeling good, there's nothing wrong with that. Just don't let that be all that it is. It has to come back to truth. It has to come back to the Word of God. You confess your love for God. That's where it has to start. Because the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth sets you free, right? What truth sets you free? The truth that you know, the truth that you confess. Peter was frustrated, and he didn't know what to do with it. That's why Jesus had him say three times, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes. You know I love you, Jesus. Why do you keep asking? Because, Peter, you need to know it. You need to know that you made some mistakes. You're aware of it. I'm aware of it. I forgave you. Now you need to forgive you. You need to move beyond this because I got something much greater for you. And here's the truth. God's got something much greater for you, church family. But maybe you just, there's something you need to get beyond you, you know. Sometimes the most difficult person to deal with is not the person that we live with as much as it is the person that we see when we look in the mirror. That's the most difficult person. See, in the kingdom of God, there's no 007 agents, there's no secret agents. It all comes back to the truth of the word of the Lord. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. So when we verbalize the truth starts setting us free. Speaking the truth gives us confidence in our new identity. Peter was not confident yet in his new identity. He was confident in his old identity as a fisherman. That's why he said, I want to go back. I want to go back to being a fisherman. I want to go back to what I know. I know how to navigate these waters. I don't know how to navigate these ones. Just because you can't navigate the waters that you're in right now doesn't mean that you should go back to the ones that you were in because they don't exist anymore. You just got to trust the Lord and let Him be the rudder that steers the ship. You see, when we confess our love for God, it identifies who we are, and it strengthens us. That's why in Matthew 10, Jesus can say, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So we got to confess our love. And then lastly, number three, write this down. Then get involved with what Jesus is involved with. Get involved in that. He asked them three times, do you love me? Well, what is it that Jesus is asking him to do when he asked him three times? He says, do you love me? Yes, you know I love you. Tend to my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, feed my lambs. He keeps telling him, get involved. Do something with what you know. Don't just sit back and say, what do you got to give me? He says, get involved. It's about loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind. But that second commandment is just like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. How are you going to get connected? And that's the question he'll ask you. How are you going to get connected so that the blessings that God pours into your life becomes something that funnels through you to others, and it's not just some large storage container so you can say, look at all the blessings I got. God will always bless you with more when you're willing to bless others with what He's blessed you with. Did you get that? That was a mouthful. He'll continue to pour through in your life. But you have to be willing to do what God is calling you to do, to go where God is calling you to go. And the challenge will always be there. It will always be there, you know. But we've got to be able to have an ear that hears. I am at the age right now that is still young, by the way. I just want to make sure you knew that. But I'm not going deaf. I'm not, you know, having huge issues. But I am having issues. I realize now at my age, something's changed in my hearing. And I don't like it. But God didn't ask my opinion, so it's a whole other story. But here's the thing. When people had problems hearing, they were called old people, right? So that can't be me, right? That can't be happening. But I noticed in our home, you know, I was repeating myself a lot. If you guys all started talking right now, and my wife tried to say something to me, I probably wouldn't hear but every fourth word, because when I'm in a room that has more than one volume source going on, I tend to hear all the noise, but I can't put it all together. Does that make sense? Anyone else with me on that? So if the TV's going, you're having a conversation. I've taken five pieces out of that conversation. I throw it together and I'm like, that doesn't make sense. What'd you say? You see, I just struggle with that. Now, that's just a reality of who I am and where I'm at in my life. Don't like it, don't want it, but here we are. So what do I have to do if I'm going to hear correctly? If there's a lot of noise, which, by the way, there's a lot of noise in this world, amen, there's a lot of things that are trying to distract us and get us to just focus on something else, and my wife wants to talk to me, you know what I'm going to do? I'll give you a warning, cameraman, here we go. I have to do this. If she's talking to me, I have to come and say, what'd you say? Oh, she loves me. You just say that because they're all here. I'll ask you again later. I had to draw near. The only way I'm going to hear what I need to hear. By the way, you and I, to some degree, are all spiritually impaired when listening. You know, what do I mean by that? You got to have the Holy Spirit. You got to draw near to God, and He will speak. There's nothing that holds Him back, but if you're in a room or you're in a world where there's a lot of noise, and there's a lot of distractions, what do you need to do? Just like I did there. Draw near. Get close. How do I do that? We've talked about it. Devotions. You can do it through, you know, there's so many different kinds of devotions you can do out there. Reading the Word of God, discipleship groups that you can get involved in, serving. It's just about loving God and loving others. And when you do that, you'll be able to hear. This is what we need to capture. The little bullets in your outline. A life of faith is always going to be built on action. But a life of fear is always going to be built on avoidance of action. Some of us are living fearful lives, and it's a result of the fact that we're not getting involved. We're not doing anything to serve or to give or to feed ourselves spiritually, and then we wonder why we have fear in our life. It's because when God's perfect love is there, His Word says it casts out all fear. It casts it out. That doesn't mean you won't ever be afraid. It just means when you become afraid, you bring it back to Jesus. Jesus, you didn't design me to carry this fear, this worry, this concern. So I'm giving it back to you. I'm giving it to you. I'm laying it at your feet. Show me what I need to do. So your faith will be increased when you move into action. But here's what happens is we don't want to move. We don't want to grow, get help, get involved, do those things until we feel like it. But if you wait till you feel like it, you'll never do it. You'll never do it. Why? Because a life of faith, it's going to be built on action, but a life of fear is built on the avoidance of action. Peter teaches us some great lessons today. My hope is this, that you and I can take some of these things he's taught us today, the Holy Spirit's taught us today. I hope you didn't come to church and say that was just a good sermon. I mean, I do hope it was a good sermon, but a good sermon to me is not that I was able to communicate without saying something silly and embarrassing myself. What matters more is that you can take it. There's handlebars on it, and you can take it home with you, and you can apply it to your life. So I'm going to ask you again, what did Jesus speak to you? What did He show you in your walk with Christ? Or maybe you need to shore it up, cinch it up a little bit more. Maybe you need to draw near to Him just a little bit more, not to become a better Christian, just so you can navigate the waters of life that you're going through. For some of us, it's going to mean that we just have to draw close to Him and stay in His presence. It means that we need to just come and humble our hearts and say, Lord, what do you have to say? Maybe He's telling us to get involved, but you see, a life of faith is always going to be built on action. That's why in James chapter 2 it says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is what? Dead. It's dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, faith doesn't happen by works. But if we have faith, it will produce works. It will produce action. So a life of faith, it produces action. When you live a life of fear, when it's built on that, that's just the avoidance of action. There's going to be two pains in life, by the way. There's the pain of discipline, and there's the pain of regret. Which one would you rather have? I'm going to tell you right now, the pain of discipline lasts for a moment. The pain of regret lasts a lifetime. A lifetime. The Lord tells us to speak truth. And when we do, we won't regret it. You may be frustrated right now where you're at and what you're going through, but if you will draw near to God, lean into Him, if you will confess your love for Jesus, speak that truth. There's power in your words, church. There's power in your words. And when you speak that, you bring forth life and then get involved with what Jesus is involved in. You'll see Him for who He is. You'll see Him on the shoreline. And when He calls out, you won't be saying, "Who is that?" You'll be saying, "That's Jesus." And then the choice will be yours, whether you're going to dive in or not. If you do, it will be fruitful. It will build your faith. And you will see, what you'll see is this. You won't just be going to church. You'll experience what it means to be the church. That's what God has called us to be anyway, right? He's called us not to attend. He's called us to be the church outside of these walls. I'm going to close with this. Psalm 73, 28. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I might declare all of your works. Lean into Him today and watch what God will do. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray today for those that are watching, even online, for those that are here today. You know exactly what's going on in their hearts and their lives. You know what dilemma, you know what difficulty they're going through. And there is nothing that can hold back the hand of God. There's nothing that can keep the grace of God back in our lives if only we would ask for it. So, Father, we're asking today that when we've become frustrated, that, Lord, you'll recalibrate our hearts and our minds, that you'll recalibrate our spirit so that our eyes will be fixed on you. Lord, help us not just to see what we see. Help us to see what you see so that as we lean into you, we can see more of you in our life. We love you, Jesus, and we ask this all in your name. Amen.